Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Our period of worship this morning shall be dedicated to a somewhat different type of service in our chapel. In my years in this school, I cannot remember a time in our chapel services when we have had a period where our students told their ideas of what Jesus Christ is to them. At the suggestion of Dr. Blackmore, several of us this morning shall attempt to do this. It's very difficult, I think, to approach such a vast topic in such a very short period of time. But basically, I think this period together is one of worship, where we share experiences and thoughts of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with each other. What Jesus Christ means to me, have you ever stopped and tried to put it on paper? Or to formulate it exactly, what does Jesus Christ mean to me? The writer of the Peanuts comic strip has come up with a little book entitled Happiness is a Warm Puppy. Many of you have probably seen this. As he goes through this book page by page, he explains that happiness is one thing, happiness is another thing. On the final page of this little book, he sums it up explicitly by saying, happiness is different things to different people. I think to tell what Jesus Christ means to us, we would have to do exactly as this man has done. Jesus Christ is different things to different people. To many, Jesus Christ is the Sunday school idea that you learned many years ago. Jesus is the little baby in the cradle. To many, this idea has never changed, although they've been Christians for years. This childhood religion of some mystical being who somehow wonderfully saves us. Somehow, to many people, this does not change. Christianity, as I see it, must be a changing, growing experience. As the needs in our lives change, so does Jesus Christ. As he meets the needs that come up in our lives day after day after day. Some people in our seminary see Jesus as wholly divine, only divine, all God, nothing else. Others in our seminary see Jesus as all human, with no divine aspects at all, simply a good man, whom others can use as an example of life. To me, Christ is more than all of these. He includes these, yet he goes further. Jesus Christ is love. The man Jesus was and is the love of God in the form of a man. This man Jesus has served as a bridge between God and man over the centuries and to all men. Jesus Christ is an ideal and an idea. He's an example of the way that we should live. This does not merely mean that we are to mimic everything he has done, but this does mean that we are to live as Christ did. This includes to love as Christ loved. The idea, Jesus Christ not only bridges the gap between God and man, but between man and other men. Jesus then, to me, is the love of God, which mercifully includes all men, all nations, all religions. Christ is love. This love we must accept, and in doing so we must employ it in our own lives so that we may be examples of this love and followers of Jesus Christ. This then, I think, is what Christ is to me. The love of God sent to us to show us how to live, to love others, to love God. The two seem to me to be inseparable. Let us then, as Christ has done, love one another, that we may be followers of his and a lover of God.
For most of my adult life, I looked on God as the creator of the world. I had very little difficulty believing in him in this way. I felt that he had wound the world up and left it, forgot about it, or even ignored it. As far as I was concerned, personal religion was just wishful thinking. But due to the efforts of a young Baptist pastor and to some events in my life that all came together, it seemed at one time, I began to realize that I had an emptiness in my life. It's rather hard to describe. But upon his insistence, this Baptist pastor, one Friday night after work, I joined him and the Royal Ambassadors at their state convention. And the next morning, March 28, 1958, I heard a man, for the first time in my life, with my whole being, preach Jesus Christ. And from the time that he began to preach until the time that I walked out of that building, I had committed my life, for better or worse, to Jesus Christ. I suppose the greatest joy that I felt in my life at that time was forgiveness, because at last the guilt that I carried deep within me had been released. And I'm sure that that's the reason today that I feel the love or know the love of Christ more through forgiveness, perhaps, than any other way. I basically am a coward. And this morning, I'd like to kick myself for being afraid to get up here. This is a part of my personality and a part of my life. I have this same feeling when I do not keep a tension between our people and our church and the Word of God. But yet, it's an awesome thing to realize that God, through Jesus Christ, forgives me for being a coward. It would be very difficult for me to be a Christian if I had to keep up a front in myself of being courageous, which I'm not. And I feel this forgiveness in sometimes when I have hostilities toward you. And I have thoughts about you that I do not like to have. Many of my thoughts are certainly uncivilized, much less Christian thoughts. But through this knowing Christ, I am forgiven, and I can live with myself. And I realize that I have worth before God. See, I do not have to castigate myself because of my deficiencies, but through Christ. And we always come back to the person of Jesus Christ. It's wonderful that we have the Word, but when you define the words and you run out of the English language to describe this, we come back to the same place, the person and work of Jesus Christ. Another area that gives me difficulty, and I implied this a while ago, is the fact of, not the fact of God. I think we can reason from design with intelligence that there is a God. But my problem is, what kind of God is he? Is he a personal God? When I see suffering, perhaps a young mother dying with cancer, a tiny baby burned to death. What kind of God allows these things to happen? Poverty. And you know, some rather terrible things happen to Christians along the line. Sometimes in Sunday school we teach that if you're a good boy, that nothing's going to happen to you. But again, when I come up against this barrier that separates me, I look to Christ. And only through Jesus Christ can we face life and keep moving and working as we should and finding our place in life. And this gives me hope. You know, it's rather discouraging to stop and think that in your lifetime, that perhaps your life will only directly influence, or you'll see a dozen people who are completely changed in their living. I know sometimes that we do a lot of preaching and we do a lot of running around, but to see people absolutely and basically changed, perhaps in my lifetime, I'll see a dozen people who come into this relationship with God. And I'm not speaking now of my own personal little ideas about this, but I'm thinking in terms of reality and their relationship, whatever it may be, whether it's orthodox for me or not. But still, I have hope through Christ, because he came and he lived life. And he gives me this same hope. Through him, I believe that one man's life does make a difference. My life in the community in which I live is not meaningless. Not because of my abilities, but because of the fact of Jesus Christ. And therefore, I can say this morning with hope in my heart, despite the discouragements and the blindness that sometimes I see in our people, at least I feel, that there is hope, and that my preaching and the efforts that I make will mean something through Christ. And I can say this morning sincerely and truthfully to you that the fact that I'm a reasonable, responsible citizen this morning, and the fact that at my best in life that I may show some traits of Christianity to you and to the other people that my life touches, that this is due to the life and work of Jesus Christ.
Now I understand the words, "Be ye ready at all times." A few moments ago, I was asked to speak for just a moment of what Christ means to me. This is a tremendous question to ask anybody to give a definition to. I might put it in the way that I was an old man when Christ found me, a grand total of 25-year-old. And you know, to most of the young people today, this is a real old ancient age. But it was during a revival that Christ came to me. Of course, I thought he was talking to the fellow next to me. I never could get him to go out and go down the aisle. But eventually it came around, it was me. Of course, I had no time for Christ. I was too busy, involved in the challenge of the world. I had what I thought was a fairly good living and so forth, and it took all my time and effort to follow this. But then God came to me through Jesus and began to change. From my hand, he took a beer can and replaced it with a Bible. The hate I had in my heart and contempt for the church, he changed it to love. And he says, "Love my people." And only a creator, God, could give this type of love to me, for I must have a heart as granite rock. And then he took from me the challenge of this secular world and replaced it with the spiritual world. He set before my life a mountain to climb that will even exceed Mount Everest. And then he let down the rope of love, and he says, "This hold to." And so God means to me through Jesus his love of guiding, the love of helping me through the mountains until the day that I must walk the valley of the shadow of death. God has deepened the love for the people of the church within my life. He changed my direction. No longer do I wander aimless. Now I have a goal in life because God came to me through Christ. And I'm sure each one today who has met Christ know of this love, know that it cannot be confined to words, but it must be confined to worship. And truly, God did instill worship within my life, as he has so many others. And I would say my testimony is no different from any Christian, that Christ has come in and purged his life and cleaned it. So my testimony would be no different from any other Christian. Or I could extend it in length or shorten it with words, but it would still come out the love of God through Jesus Christ. And I thank God each day that I live that he so chose to come unto me, who was so unworthy. Why, I don't know. But this I do know. God made the mountain, and Jesus walked it. And it's called the Hill of Calvary. And I could not bear that trip. Only the love and strength of Jesus Christ could take my sins and carry them. As we turn now to our final hymn, each one of us has a testimony. And Jesus says, "Go and proclaim it to the world. Be my witness." And this is the challenge he has left to each one of us. And we turn now to hymn 137. The closing hymn for the day. Remain standing right after for our benediction. Hymn 137. Eternal God, our Father, as we have assembled here today, we thank thee that thou hast so loved us. Now we pray, Father, that thou would give us strength to proclaim thy glory and to carry the message to the world that is given to us by thy Son. Strengthen each one of us, Father, that we might penetrate the barriers that would stand before us. Give us strength, Father, that we might not fear the elements that we must face each day, but give us strength that we might always be able to tell of thy great love. Now bless each one, Father, that is in this seminary. Bless bless each one that has come out to chapel today. Use each one of us for thy glory. For it is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.